All right, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, and this is actually the fourth episode I'm doing in the My Awakening video series, where I'm just going to interview various researchers and various people in the different truth communities for all different topics. It doesn't matter really what you're into, as long as, you know, it's something, you know, credible, nothing, no nonsense, but it doesn't matter. I want everybody's story. We're not here to have a point-by-point discussion on, you know, if they're right or if they're wrong. I just want everybody's story of when they, quote-unquote, woke up, you know, some of the steps they took across their path, you know, different people that they listened to for a little bit, maybe they don't anymore, different topics they looked into, what they're looking into now, and kind of how it affected their life and stuff like that. So today's guest is going to be Meegs. Meegs, how you doing?
What's up? I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you for coming on and doing the interview. You're a very interesting person. I really like your channel, and I really enjoy when you're on Brian McFarland's show a lot, so I figured I'd have you on. It'd be a good interview.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm excited. I love just, like, talking turkey about truth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool, like, that you – I'm so glad that you've joined the Mandela Effect community, by the way. I really dig what you kind of bring to the table when we're on Brian McFarland's chats, and it's always, like, way more interesting when you're on. But because you know all about 9/11 and the hoax events and more about, like, government corruption and stuff like that, too. And I think, you know, people that have recently woken up to the Mandela Effect, we're coming from, like, all walks of life, all areas of the earth and all levels of, like, truth knowledge too. So
yeah,
a lot of people aren't aware necessarily that we're living in, like, a somewhat of a constructed illusory reality just put upon us by our government and governments all over the world, and it's a lot of fake crap that we have to deal with. And, like, a lot of government corruption, a lot of craziness with secret societies and whatnot having control over this realm. So that, I mean, really that should have an effect on Mandela affected people too, because we have to view this world through the paradigm of, you know, we're in this place where almost everything is a lie, you know.
Yeah.
That's put upon us by our government. that has something to do with the Mandela effect, you know, or at least we should be aware of that kind of stuff. But
yeah, it's very interesting how people take very different paths to get to all these different topics, whether it's Mandela effect, flat earth, 9/11, Apollo, vaccines, whatever it is you're into looking into. People all get there, like, a different way. Like, I used to always think, okay, everybody comes through 9/11. And then when I start talking to different people, a lot of people don't, especially in these two different communities that we've been bouncing around in the most lately. Like, there's people that just come from totally different places. Some people just from spiritual places. Some people just, they've noticed things changing in their life. So it just kind of automatically woke them up to that. Some people, it's pretty crazy. So it's interesting to get everybody's story. What was the first thing for you that really, first thing for you that, because I know you look into other things, like, I'm sure you look into 9/11 and false flags and vaccines and chemtrails and flat earth and everything. What was the first thing that you really decided, hey, I need to research this, because what the media and what the government is telling me, not only in this case, but pretty much most of the time, if not all the time, is complete bull. Like, what was it for you that was that so-called wake-up moment? What topic?
Oh, my gosh. I have decided now, since it's been 2 years, I think about that from time to time. Like, what was the moment where I went from being like, tra-la-la-la-la, nothing's wrong with this world. Like, I'm just going to chase after clothes and boys and money and whatever, you know? Like, what was the demarcation point for me? Like, sometimes I think about that, you know, like, what was my waking up moment? And I have decided for me it was the moment when I was trying to get as healthy as I possibly could. I had just gotten an art studio in Chicago, and I was just having really low energy all the time. I couldn't bring myself to paint. Like, I couldn't concentrate. Like, I couldn't, I just had such low energy, and I was researching about the best water to drink. I was like, I'll start with the water. I'll research the best filters I can get for my water. And then I started finding like none of the filters actually do much. And then I started researching about fluoride. The thing about fluoride kept coming up. I was like, what's fluoride? Like, why is that? And I remember learning about that like 6 years previously. And when I saw a documentary about fluoride, I think it's called Fluoride Poison on Tap, and about how it is just, we're just putting poison in our water and the government is mandating it. And it's like banned in certain countries to have fluoride in the water because it's neurotoxic. It's hurting your brain. And so that led me to a whole, just a crazy amount of other topics, you know, because I had so much time on my hands. I was like renting out an Airbnb at the time. That was my job. So I basically had full days, like months and months of full days to just do like hardcore research. And so with the YouTube algorithms, you know, once you're looking at stuff on fluoride, it'll inevitably lead you to 9/11. And I saw the documentary called Anatomy of a Great Deception.
Who put that out? Oh man, that totally blew
my mind. It was with Bill Hooper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bill Hooper. Oh my gosh, I must have seen that documentary like 30 times by now, just like me watching it, memorizing it, showing it to other people. It is just mind-blowingly good information. It was put together in such a good way, just accessible to the average Joe. It was just chock full of really good information. And when I saw that, I got like a, you know, I was already weirded out by the stuff about fluoride. I was like, is our government trying to kill us, for God's sakes? Like, why are they putting this in our water? You know, I was calling all my friends, freaking out. But the 9/11 documentary really sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember watching in college, like movies like Zeitgeist and Loose Change, but those didn't do it for me. Like, those didn't get me there. Those didn't red pill me. And I think I was like caught up in the, like, they would mention like gematria and stuff,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
before,
yeah,
people are ready to hear about it. And it's like, oh, you think like because there's like a 2 and a 3 and a 33 and this news article that like this is happening, like, come on, you know. So I think there's definitely better documentaries out there than others. But for anyone watching this, if you want to wake up, I woke up my dad with this documentary. It was called Anatomy of a Great Deception. And I sat there and watched it with him after. I actually went to my hometown from Chicago just to show this documentary to my family. Because I was like, it had me like just in tears, basically. Because I kept watching people like jumping out of the windows for their dear life. I mean, well, it was not even for their dear life. I mean, they were jumping out of the windows to escape the heat of the fire, the like torturous heat of the fire. I mean, it was like the stay and be burned alive or jump out the window. And it's just like, man, I just sat there and cried for days. I was just like no expression, just unspeakably upset about what I had learned, you know. And so I knew there was no going back after watching that and learning about that, man.
When was this? What year was this in?
This was in 2016. Yes, the summer of 2016, like June.
Oh, okay. So this is still pretty recent for you.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea about 9/11 before 2016. The summer of 2016. So it's still, I think when you first wake up to certain things, you get this like burst of passion and energy, you know, to do something about it, to be like an activist about it, to change it if you can, you know, or at least speak out about it, at least begin to do something, or at the very least, you know, not go back to sleep once you figure this stuff out. But it was a while before I started my YouTube channel, but you know, I think I wanted to just research for like a couple months before I started putting anything out, you know, online. Like I wanted to form some kind
of a
grounding for my opinion, you know, but
before you put yourself out there. So let me get this right. So this was in 2016, and then since then you've also discovered the Mandela Effect and Flat Earth all in that 2 year span, all three topics?
It was all in the same time period. That was crazy.
Those are the three biggest things for me. Those are the three big ones.
And I think it happened that way for a lot of people, you know, because when you wake up to the Mandela Effect, like, just the way the YouTube algorithms work, I mean, thank goodness they're working in our favor for now. They, like, lead us to other truth videos, but...
Yeah. The autoplay is the best.
It's awesome. I mean, that's how I got on to the topic of the Mandela Effect. I think it was just from, you know, you can go from fluoride to 9/11. To YouTube took me on a whole, like, truth journey down the rabbit hole. But, yeah, 9/11 to Flat Earth, to false flag events, Sandy Hook, like, whatever, you know, whatever you want. YouTube's got it for you for now. But, and then, yeah, Mandela Effect was, like, my last stop on the truth train that summer, you know. And actually then I started researching about, like, gang stalking and targeted individuals too, and that's like a whole other area of research that I'm passionate about. And there's going to be an event next month coming up, like the first annual T-Day for, like, a march for targeted individuals and stuff, but that came a little bit later that I got into that. But with the Mandela Effect, that was, out of everything that I learned about, that was kind of the thing that pulled me in the most.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and a lot of people have different opinions about what's the most important truth, what's the most worthy truth to be active about. And
some people are really arrogant about their opinion on that as well.
Right. Absolutely.
Like maybe for me it's Flat Earth, for you it's Mandela, and for the next guy it's 9/11, or flip it around any way you want. But you have to look at all of them. They're all important. They all tie together.
Oh, totally. They are totally. It's like it's all equally important, and it all fits together in this weird puzzle. You know, it all fits. It's all sort of, you know, goes along with the narrative of we've been lied to big time about our reality, you know, and it's like we got a lot to sift through. We got a lot to unlearn. We have to now completely relearn the nature of our reality and the nature of our control structure. And so that's really hard and troubling for a lot of people. And a lot of people just want to give up, I imagine, and, you know, or it's funny, I was listening to the channel SMQ AI, and they do a podcast together, him and this YouTuber named Chick, and they were talking about how even now, if people do wake up to certain truth-related things, there's this culture of, like, being too cool to care, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you come across so many people that, like, seem to... They'll come across like, oh yeah, I researched that a long time ago with my friend, blah blah blah. It's like, oh, are you too cool to care that your reality is illusory, and like we've been, our government's like killing us. There's a silent war being waged on us right now.
Yeah, it's crazy that they don't care. Like, I understand when there's people that, let's just say, and I'm not one of them, because, you know, I look at everything, as do you, and a lot of people, that's the type of people I'm actually trying to have on here the most, because you guys are the most interesting to me. But there are people that just look at one, but there are some people that are so immersed in one, they just haven't looked at the other, and that's fine. But if you are one of those people that haven't looked at the other, or you chose not to look at the other, don't mock it till you look into it, because you look like an idiot.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, if we're in the truth community, like, we should be the most open-minded we can possibly be without letting our brains fall completely out. But, I mean, certainly there should be a sense of, you know, just trust at some level. If somebody's saying something, like they're having an experience with the Mandela Effect, like, you got to trust someone enough if they're in this community to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, but I've found And the channel called Quantum of Conscience talks about this too, that like people cannot in the truth community, like they can't even give you the benefit of the doubt that you're experiencing what you're experiencing as far as the memory craziness, you know, with the Mandela effect. They won't even, they'll just still just completely write it off for some
reason. After they admit it, even after you get them to answer the question, you know, the way they're going to answer it, the way it's always been. And then when they find out by looking it up, what you tell them, they'll say, oh no, I was wrong. It was always this. They'll just go Google it or Wikipedia and that's it. That's like people that, you know, you want to look into 9/11, they'll go to Snopes. 9/11 a conspiracy? No. Oh, Snopes said it wasn't a conspiracy and Mythbusters... Mythbusters proves that jet fuel melts buildings, so, you know, we're all set.
Right. Yeah. It is absolutely ridiculous to me that more people don't just give the benefit of the doubt, even friends and family. Like, if you've never shown signs of being mentally ill, but you're talking about this thing where your memory, like, somehow your memories are now totally different than, and they don't match up to this reality, and you can show them links, you can show them websites.
We have residue. Like people, we have residue. It's, game over. It's residue? Not false memory. Yeah. We have residue.
Yeah, but, man.
Like crazy residue. Like, we got lead singers of bands singing songs the way they used to be that we remember, but it's never been. Like, come on.
Exactly. Okay. Even my shirt says, false memories. Then explain the residue.
I love that one.
That's Brian McFarland's shirt.
Nice. Awesome.
I think people can get one if they want to advertise the Mandela effect to your friends and family and just be hated all the more because it triggers them or they don't understand it. But anyway, I don't get so many like smiles out in public when I wear this shirt. And also the NASA one that says nope instead of NASA. People just... I kind of like get these weird looks like, why are you?
I have people that come into my work, right? And they're like, I see multiple NASA shirts every week, right? This one guy comes in the other day, not the other day, it was a few weeks ago, because I think I might have even told people once about this. This was like 3 weeks ago, maybe. He comes in, he got the, you know, he got the NASA logo on, the serpent tongue and the blue and, you know, the whole thing. And then it says, no, actually, in quotes, it is rocket science. And I just, I almost lost it. It should say, actually, no, it is pseudoscience is what it should say, not rocket science. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
You told me with 9/11 what your big one was, like, you know, the documentary that kind of got you going and, you know, what specific parts of it. So with the Mandela effect, obviously there was one or two, for, you know, I know for me it was, you know, JFK, Berenstain in the beginning, and then other big ones like Black Tom, C-3PO, and then, you know, it goes forever. But for you, what was it that you said, no, I'm 100% sure there's no way I'm misremembering this. I had this as a kid. I watched this. I know the lyrics. I know the event. What was it?
Oh, my gosh. It was just that... It was the run-of-the-mill. It was the usual, like, Berenstain, the Magic Mirror one, the Snow White one, Forrest Gump. There was, like, I just saw a list of the top 10 Mandela effects. And, like, the thing is, you know, sometimes I forget myself that when I'm trying to bring the Mandela effect to someone, those are the ones to tell people, even though we've heard them a billion, trillion times, you know, like, oh, it used to be mirror, not magic mirror on the wall. It can get a little boring to, you know, say that over and over again, but people really do respond to the most, to the most famous Mandela effects.
They really do. They really do. And that's why I say, you know, I think everybody is affected. Just many people are oblivious to it, whether their consciousness isn't at a certain level or their vibration or whatever your theory is on how we're all connected. I think that, you know, everybody is affected because honestly, even though they'll deny it and they'll backtrack, everybody knows C-3PO was always all gold. They know it. The Mandela effect will know it. They'll come up with every other excuse. It's been remastered, reissued, yada, yada. And, you know, those are all bullshit excuses, but they all know. And there's other ones they all know, you know. Ed McMahon, everybody knows he worked for Publishers Clearinghouse. Everybody knows Mira Mira. Did you see that video that I just reposted? It was somebody's video from like a year ago. You've probably seen it because you're really into the YouTube videos for a while, I think. And it was they did in Australia. They hit the streets of Australia and they asked people like two choice question, multiple choice, two choices for each question. and they went down a list of like the top 20 Mandelas just to see what people's score were, and people got like 2 or 3 out of 20 correct according to this reality. Yeah, all of them.
Right.
Nobody got more than like 4 or 5 right.
Yeah, it's really
right.
It's
nobody
really
got four
weird.
Or five correct. Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's like you can get people to give the correct answers that match our memory, but you cannot get people to care that their reality has changed. Like, you can show them that, like, there's something really weird going on. Like, depends is now depend. We can't depend.
Dude, that's
on the
a
name
huge
of
one. That's top James 10. Steve. Top 10 right there. Dude, we made so many jokes as kids growing up. Your mom is so old, she got to wear depends.
Right. Holy.
It was never depend. That's a big one. So what are your favorite ones right now? Okay, so I know that I want to put two different categories on them real quick, and then I want to bounce to a couple more topics too. But
yeah.
with your Mandela effects, right, what do you say for you, your personal, your top three, and what are your personal top three you would use to go at people that aren't familiar with the topic? Because I know that differs a little.
Dude, it's so hard to say because it's like different for each person depending on what their
Well, you don't got to give me three. What are the ones you go to the most? What are your aces in the hole?
Okay. For me, I actually do use the depends one a lot because that's just so funny to me. Like, it totally it was always depends. I mean, my goodness. Like, it was never
always
just depend. I love the North Pole one. The North Pole one's crazy to me.
That where it's all water now?
And I usually just change. I ask people, what do you like? Describe the North Pole for me in 2 sentences. You know, I just ask them like totally like out of the blue question, like a question
that.
And
they
don't know I'm talking about the Mandela effect. But yeah, I was like, can you describe the North Pole to me? Because it's interesting for me to hear people's responses, but then it's also interesting to hear what people have always known the North Pole to be. Because Brian, I'm telling you, it's like different for every single person I ask. And why would it be different?
Out of all the places on earth, that could be the most spiritual place. So that could have something to do with it.
Yeah.
It could be a tie-in there.
Absolutely.
Why that place would be more of variations than anywhere else. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's speculation, but we have to speculate. That's how we make progression, you know?
Right. I do the Eli Whitney one a lot. I do the bone behind the eyes. Do you guys ever? I do the kidneys. I do like.
Oh, you like so you like the anatomy kidneys. Ones. You like the anatomy ones.
Yeah,
huh?
I love the anatomy ones because I went to art school and I took so much I took so many drawing classes. I had a skeleton even that I owned. I owned a couple. Anatomically correct skeletons, and I would like drive around with them in the car in like high school, and I had them at my art studio. I knew the skeleton like through and through and through, and I just can't believe that people always know theirs who have been bone in your eye sockets. Like your eye sockets aren't hollow anymore. You can't do an ice pick lobotomy anymore properly, at least.
It's crazy. Remember, I don't know if you know, but in boxing, like, you're not allowed to kidney punch somebody because you could kill them. But now the kidney's protected.
Right.
So now the kidney's protected. Right. So that whole thing doesn't even make any sense.
Right. It's totally bizarre. I mean,
it's like Australia. Australia is the land down under, but now it's not even down under because New Zealand and South America and Africa are further south.
it's absolutely nuts, man. And I used to live there too, and it totally wasn't like I was looking with my friend at the time. We were going to teach English in Bali or whatever, and I have such a clear snapshot in my mind of Australia being so far away in the ocean. It was always in the ocean, and everybody knows that. Like, everybody should know that. But yeah, it's just totally bizarre. And a lot of people that are close to a particular effect, like if you live in Australia, then it's more likely that your memory will have been updated to suit the changes. Because I feel like some changes are so big if you're part of it. If you're living in Australia, like you're more prone to have your memory updated about
it. Yeah, I don't think if you live anywhere where something is changing, it makes a lick of a difference. It just, again, matters how in tune you are. So whether,
right.
You know what I mean? Because if you're asleep, you're asleep, and the changes are going to have always been there for you. You know what I'm saying? And I think even the people whose names changed and everything, like they drop an S, Sally Fields, Christopher Reeves, you know, we could do the list for – we could go for months. I mean, Mark Hamill just got Mandela'd. So you can just drop
– Oh, right.
Yeah, you can drop the letters on the names, and for the most part, I think they're all – those people are oblivious to it. But I'll tell you what, Sinbad and Anthony Daniels, the guy that plays C-3PO, they are in on it. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, they are in on at least not – they're in on making us think we're crazy for realizing this. I don't know what they're in on and with who, but they're in on covering it up for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause those absolutely. Statements, the statements by Anthony Daniels is as bad as the Sinbad making the fake residue clip to mock us all when people go and run with it.
Yeah. And like we were saying on Brian McFarland, there's this new, like, weird history now that's tailored to suit the new changes. So now, like, for instance, in the Bible, and I talk a lot about the Bible changes on my
channel.
Yeah, well,
those are big. Those are big. You can talk about some of them right now. What are some of the biggest Bible ones for you that give you success to making people at least think? To make them at least think. Obviously, the Lion and the Lamb. Everybody knows. But what else?
Yeah, there's so much. There's so many crazy changes about, like, bowels, loins. Mm. Girdles, bonnets, like creepy
there's a lot
stuff.
Of nasty, like, a lot of nasty shit going on now, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of, like, gushing bowels, yearning bowels, curious bowels.
People, feces curious, or some shit.
There's the bowels. Okay, I have, like, a whole list of Bible things. Philippians 1:8, God is my record, how greatly I long for you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. There's a bowels of Jesus Christ now in the Bible. Like, it's ridiculous. There's a verse where God has horns coming out of his hand now. There's a verse where Jesus is girt about the paps in a golden girdle. There's
Moses,
like, people hissing.
Moses got the horns now, too, and the statues of him are popping up with the horns at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Moses has horns. I mean, it's like everything has horns now. There's a lot of, like, horned creatures that were never horned, or like weird changes of horns.
There's a lot of gender confusion type of stuff too, isn't there?
Oh, totally. Yeah, there's like, inanimate objects have he and her pronouns now in the Bible. It's just, like, totally strange. There's a Bible streaker in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's, like, a random verse that was never there before about a young man ran across the garden or whatever. It just doesn't add anything to the story, and, like, it's okay, there's a naked boy running around where it doesn't have any point. There's no point in including that. But I did a video about Ezekiel 23:30, I believe, about it's now just explicitly pornographic in the Bible now.
That's crazy.
It's, hold on, let me read that verse again. I should have it memorized. Oh, okay. And she lusted after her lovers, lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emissions was like that of horses. And it's like,
what?
That was never in the Bible, dude. It was never. That kind of stuff, like, I mean, that's like a explicit pornographic image that you would get in your head. I mean, that was never. The only crazy stuff in the Bible, or the only vaguely sexual stuff, was in the Song of Solomon, where it was like, you're... you know, it was just like it's poetry about, you know, like, men and women and love and whatever, but it wasn't, it was still, like, written by a gentleman, you know, like, it was still written in a gentlemanly fashion, you know, it's just like, it doesn't make sense for there to be all this like dung and piss in the Bible now, and just like
it's crazy.
Absolutely nuts.
What about the stuff with Jesus hanging in a tree now in a lot of the versions of the Bible?
Yeah, there's a verse in the Bible now. It says like every man that hangs on a tree shall be accursed of God. And so now that they have Jesus being cursed, he's hanged on a tree instead of dying on the cross. He doesn't even carry his own cross now. He's like hanged on a tree. And then now the craziest part with that is you can hear pastors talking about that as if it's always been like that. Like they're saying, oh yeah, you know, like Jesus hanged on a tree for us. And I was like, when I was listening to a few pastors mention that in their sermons, because I also became Christian through finding out about the Mandela effect, because I could see it was attacking the Bible so much. The Mandela effect is really going after the Christian Bible, and it just really made me get closer to God, actually, but in a crazy way. It doesn't seem like that would make sense, but I could see that it was the Bible changes are really important for the Mandela effect. But a lot of the changes seem to be going after Jesus in particular. Like they actually call him a wine bibber now in the Bible. They call him a wine bibber. And then you have people saying that they're slaves to Jesus Christ instead of followers of him. Now the lingo is that they're slaves to Jesus Christ. And it's just, that wasn't ever like that.
Can I ask you a question about that?
James Bible.
Let me ask you a question about the Bible. I know I asked you before if Bibles in other languages were changing, and you said yes. You know, I know some of them vary, but there are changes. What about other people's religious texts, like the Quran and all these other religions? Do you know if any of these people are experiencing these type of changes with their gods?
Well, and the only thing I can say is that the Judaic scriptures, like the Old Testament, I can't even think of what it's called now, but the Jewish scriptures are changing now too, because of course that's what the Christian Bible is too, at least half of it. But with the Quran, I have heard that a few things have been changed, but they also heavily draw on Christian scriptures for the Quran.
I don't know much about it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and they even have Jesus in the Quran, but they just say he's the prophet. I haven't heard any other religious texts changing like this. That's the only. But I have heard people's Bibles from all over the world are changing. Like I've heard from people from South America, Spain, France, all different countries where people are like, Denmark.
So those people that you talk to in those other countries, France, Denmark, Spain, whatever, and they confirm that their Bibles have changed, are they also seeing the type of changes we are in a vast amount with products, media, everything in their own language?
Yeah, they are. But there's not there doesn't seem to be as many changes in other countries for some reason. But I know like in the UK, they're and in Canada too, like products, basically only for that country, you know, products that come out of that country are changing for them too. Like candy bars in London or whatever, like changing now too, but no one else would know about that unless you lived in the UK or whatever. And like certain commercials in Canada, I know have changed. I think Nobleness D has talked about that, and but we wouldn't know that here in America, you know. But it's they talk about it, it's clear that it's changed because it's inferior, and that's another thing people are talking about. The changes always seem to be inferior to the original, to how it was before.
If we were to, let's say, read the Bible, speak with the way words are spelling now, pronounce people's names with the new spellings, and sing songs with the new lyrics, we would sound like a bunch of idiots.
Oh, it just doesn't make any sense.
We'd be so grammatically incorrect. We'd be saying stuff that doesn't even make sense. Like,
it's crazy. Just the other day, and the whole Bible's like grammatically incorrect now. There's freaking emojis in here.
No, stop.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
For sure. I'll have to send you.
There's not.
What they'll do is they'll put like a super long. Sorry, my.
Are you safe? Are you going to get your house? Holy shit.
But yeah, there'll be like a whole paragraph that's now in parentheses, and at the end of the paragraph that's in parentheses, you'll get a semicolon and then the end parentheses, so it's like a winking emoji, and then they have regular like colon before parentheses emojis in there, and it's usually when they were talking about like women getting undressed in the college, and they actually say college in a verse, and then you have like a winky face emoji, and it's like wink wink, like it is. Wow. So there's all these anachronisms in there, but yeah, I mean, just as you were saying, like the changes are just so inferior, they don't make sense, they just sound ridiculous now. And just last night I was singing with my coworkers, I was at my cafe, and I was like, I put on the Bee Gees, and we were just.
How deep is your love? How deep is your love?
How deep is your love? Yeah.
I really mean to learn. Yeah. Okay.
I was singing, and it was like we were all singing. I really need to know, but now it's mean to learn, and I really
so
need
stupid.
To learn. No, that sounds stupid.
Drives me nuts, dude. It drives me nuts.
I mean to learn at some point. I'm putting it on my calendar. I mean to do it. It's like, no, I need to know. I need to know how deep your love is.
I personally love the music ones. That's what, like, because I've been looking at Mandela since 2014. And, like, I got, you know, really deep into Flat Earth around the same time. And Mandela was just kind of what I would use late at night to unwind from all the information overload of the other stuff. And I would just, you know, play Mandela affected music and stuff, and I would just get a kick out of it. But the last few months, I've been so heavy over on that side now because it's accelerated so much. There's like 6, 7, 8 changes a day. People are sending me ones. I'm seeing things change around me. It's impossible to put it on the back burner.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's going so fast. I think people are just put in a Mandela affected. People are put in a constant state of overwhelm. You know,
well, you can't even have a conversation with somebody without picking up on something that they said that doesn't exist. Happens to me all day long. It's like, what are you doing? What are you saying? That doesn't exist. You know what I mean? It's like, I get sick of telling people that doesn't exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? Go look it up. It doesn't exist.
Look, okay, I have Converse
stickers.
Oh, man. The logo's on the inside.
Boom.
Now, and it was always on the outside. Because that's what makes sense when you're walking around. The logo would be on the outside of your shoe.
Of course.
If you don't see the inside of
When I first heard about that, I went and looked up the old Magic Johnson and Larry Bird ads because they were the two biggest spokesmen for Converse. They'd wear them in the ads. They'd wear them in the NBA games. And even the advertisements and posters and everything changed. It's like, what kind of advertisement is it to pay Larry Bird and Magic Johnson millions of dollars and then put your logo on the inside of the ankle where people don't see it when they're running down the basketball court?
That doesn't make logical sense.
The marketing people for the Mandela Effect should be fired overall because they suck. They got so much inconsistencies going on. Shit doesn't match. It's absolutely ridiculous. But listen, we got like 20 minutes left, so we're gonna switch gears real quick. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say one word to you, and I want your opinion on that word and how you came to that opinion.
Okay.
NASA.
Horrific.
So what made you lose faith in them, and when was it?
Oh my gosh, that was when I was learning about Flat Earth, like, right, that was like my next research project after 9/11. I lost my mind, Brian. I lost my mind, and that's a whole other side story for me. I actually met a flat earther who was my limo driver, and she, well, I mean, I didn't hire, like, I didn't have a limo driver, but it was just like, For one night, I like had a driver that was a flat earther, and we got to talk for like an hour, and it was amazing. And I kept his business card, and he, when I found out and decided flat earth was real, like a couple months later, I called him up, and he's been my flat earth guru ever since. And we like talk on the phone all the time. And but yeah, NASA was the big kicker for me. I think the documentary A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon was like sealed the deal for me. And Astronauts Gone Wild ain't too bad either.
Well, that's his follow-up. That's the sequel. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta watch them. You gotta watch them both. But yeah, a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. It was top two. I had like three of them that were my top three. That one, a thing that used to be called, and it's been Mandela affected. Listen to this. It used to be called Doc Mission 1 and Doc Mission 2. And it was like from the early 80s probably, but it was the best photo analysis of the fakery on the moon. Once I seen that, I knew. And then the next day I seen funny thing happen on the way to the moon. And there was one that was on Fox that was convincing too. But on that Doc Mission 1, now when you mm-hmm. go and you go, if you go and look it up, it's not there. And the movie's titled What Really Happened on the Moon, Part 1 and Part 2. And that is not the title of it. It's absolutely crazy. So you saw a funny thing happen on the way to the moon.
That's for me.
What did you think when you seen that? Obviously, you thought they didn't go to the moon, but where did you think the fakery went from there? Did you think satellites were fake? Did you already have a suspicion? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what steps did you take after seeing that documentary? Because Apollo's one thing. The flat Earth is a totally bigger step.
Oh, absolutely. Well, when you really grasp the entire situation, the gravity, so to speak, behind 9/11, you know, the gravity of the situation, even though gravity isn't real, you are more open to just living in this paradigm where you don't trust the government at all. You know, if they were lying to us about this and willing to sacrifice the lives of, 3,000 people, or I don't even know how many actually died, but people definitely did actually die in 9/11, and our government orchestrated this, probably very likely along with the Mossad. But when you come across something that moves and shakes your soul as much as 9/11 does, the flat Earth is like, it's the next natural step in your course of like unlearning the lies you've been told. And so when I found that NASA was Freemasons, like NASA, they hire more specifically, mostly Mormon Freemasons out of Brigham Young University in Utah. And like, that was their thing. They have a history of occultism and like JPL with, who was the guy?
No, Jack Parsons.
Yeah. He has a history with Aleister Crowley and the OTO and stuff. And it's like, when you can look at that and say, hey, you know, this doesn't add up. This isn't right. They're lying to us. They're in a religion that is inherently deceitful. It's like Scientology. You know, they won't allow you to know everything about the religion you're a part of until you pay like thousands and thousands of dollars to get to the higher levels, and then you find out you're worshiping freaking Satan. You know, so considering what 9/11 was, it wasn't a big step for me to understand that NASA was full of crap.
So the funny thing in Astronauts Gone Wild made you realize Apollo is fake. Then it probably wasn't hard to realize satellites are fake or whatever. What about realizing that every picture of the Earth was fake?
Oh my gosh, that was the thing that got me to start researching it, actually.
Yeah,
man, they are really badly fake. Because I took graphic design for a while. I was in art school. I know how to do the cloning tool with Photoshop, and I was looking all it took to convince me was the sex and the clouds and the cloning tool.
Oh, the clouds stamped on,
They copy pasted the clouds, and I'm like, no, this isn't even good. This isn't even high quality.
Oh, it's sloppy.
Like, it was terrible. And so, not to mention all the now official ISS photos of like huge, like countries that are huge.
Florida is the third of the size of the Earth because they exaggerate the curve so much.
The palms take up like an eighth of the Earth.
It's such a joke. It's like a cartoon for little kids, man. You look at pictures of satellites in space, they're all completely CGI, look like cartoons. There's no other satellites. There's supposed to be 20,000 of them. There's no stars. Yeah. And it's completely insulting when you look at it. But, just to get your opinion on one more big thing about that. And then people believe there's a convertible driven by a mannequin in outer space. They believe that.
It is horrifying. I mean, it's horrifying because I know that I would have accepted that too if I didn't know about anything else, because it's like when you're in your rat race, your day-to-day rat race that the system forces you to be in, what do you have to care about besides the pleasures of life that will just get you through the day? I mean, most people like hate their jobs so much they have to go drink it off after work or on the weekends, or you're all, you know, chasing after like whatever, like people on Tinder or whatever, and that just takes up all of your time. And being in the truth community now, I'm just like complete. I don't drink anymore. I don't mess with like anything that I used to, really. That was just like surface level, like pleasure type stuff. Now it's like, no, I need to devote my life now to exposing this craziness, you know, because we have to speak out about it once you know this stuff. But gosh, now I almost forgot what you asked me.
I was asking you about the basically, first I asked you about the pitches of space and when did you realize that, and then I was going to ask you basically your next progression from there, like what made you okay, now you know the pitches of space from fake. Was it after that? There's got to be more. Was it no curvature, water lies level, airplanes?
What was the next big thing
for you, and whose material did you look at for that, if there were a few key ones?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved ODD's stuff. I watched tons of videos on that. One of the things that really got me to look at more like ancient history type stuff, or just to reconsider that, was there's the video called "There's No Trees on Flat Earth."
Oh, that's a really interesting one. I like that. I don't know if I'm 100% sure about that, but it's definitely interesting. I like it. Yeah, good stuff.
But it got me to go from thinking like kind of small, like focusing on the secret societies and occultism and stuff, to thinking like the lies could really be that big. You know, it really could be that drastically different from what we were told growing up, you know, that like the Devil's Tower or whatever, that's an old tree stump. And
well, wouldn't the idea of giants and things like of that sort, giant trees, wouldn't that kind of tie into your Bible beliefs a bit?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's in the Book of Enoch, I think it talks about way different stuff, even in the canonical scriptures. But there's certainly giants. There's giant skeletons all around. That video got me to research all the images and all the newspaper articles about the skeletons of gigantic humans, or I don't even know if you could call them humans, really. They're the combination biblically between humans. But anyway, they exist, and at some point people were not allowed to keep reporting on them, even though they kept construction crews kept excavating them all around the world. They still exist, but the mainstream media at that time, you know, I guess turn of the century, whatever, demanded that, you know, that not be reported anymore. So, but yeah, it was a ton of different stuff with Flat Earth, and it's still a highly enjoyable journey to research as much as I can. Like, one of the most amazing videos that I've seen on it recently was an interview with a naval engineer. He worked in a machine shop on a Navy ship, and I don't even know.
I know the interview, the one Mark Sargent did with him.
And he was ripping apart the ISS, like completely ripping it apart. And I hadn't really considered that the ISS was built, constructed in space by humans. Like, we went to space. We took, like, well, the official story is we took 40 different trips to construct that thing, and there was no video.
Where's the video of this construction of a space station?
The greatest engineering feat in history. You're going to build an international space station in space. You're not going to build it on Earth and then fly it out to space, and nobody even really like took pictures of it.
And the ISS is a joke. The video that they show from the inside. I mean, that you could sit, you want to look for media fakery and CGI and stuff, have a field day looking at the ISS footage, because it's everywhere, from augmented reality glitches to CGI errors to their other tricks like wire harnesses being exposed, green screens, blue screens, spacewalks and underwater pools. It's all a joke. So you don't have to get, if you're here to hear the Mandela stuff or the 9/11 and you're not into flat earth, you don't have to look at flat earth, but just for yourself, look at NASA. They're lying to you, and you can make your own determination why. But to ignore the footage that's right in front of your face, you're doing yourself a disservice, because these people are hoaxing you, and there is a reason. You can differ on the reason, but there's got to be a reason, because it's a huge lie, and you should try and get to the bottom of it. That's what I think. That's my opinion.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And what is up with people's complete lack of curiosity about all this? I mean, I recently came out about being a passionate flat earther on Facebook, like, and I mean, I actually have two different Facebooks now. It's like,
I know. I don't know where to message you sometimes, because I see both of them post around the same time. I'm like, I don't even know which one to use.
There's so much truth. I'd rather, you know, I'm trying to bring it to people in an accessible way, so I don't want to. I want to focus on like one specific body of truth so as not to overwhelm people. And then I have like another Facebook with every other truth, you know.
You talk to an a-hole like me that has to run the gamut every conversation we have.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
I can't help it.
But yeah. So what else? Coming out on Facebook, I've seen firsthand that there's just a complete lack of curiosity about, you know, I don't expect everybody to be as excited about a topic as I am, but I mean, we're talking about like the earth, the shape of the shape and nature of the earth we live on being faked, completely falsified by the money laundering organization known as NASA. It's like, it's so easy to uncover once you just look like an hour into it. It's like when I came out, I was like, surely once people research like 20 minutes to an hour into this, it'll be really easy to see, because this stuff just crumbles when you look at it. NASA crumbles when you look at it, but people vehemently deny that could ever be possible, because it's this like heroic organization. It's like this lofty, larger than life, superhuman like organization for people that they just
scientists admire. They have lab coats. You don't have an opinion against them. They have lab coats. I mean, Joe Rogan would tell you that. Right. So just sit down and shut up. Yeah.
Right.
Ridiculous. Absolutely. So we're gonna wrap up in about 5 minutes. So what else do you look into now a lot? Or what else along this path in the last few years have you looked into a lot besides those big three? Anything else? What keeps your interest?
Yeah, absolutely. The topic of organized child trafficking and satanic ritual abuse and MKUltra monarch programming has been huge, unbelievably important research for me. And I've actually tried to be as active about that as I can, and helped house a victim for a couple months here who was a victim of MKUltra abuse even as a child. And it was just horrific to see that's not only are people involved in societies like Freemasonry and Skull and Bones and stuff, not only are they lying to us and laughing about it, lying to us about hoaxed events and the shape of the earth we live on, they're also highly involved in organized pedophilia, and this is important to their religion. And so that was the point where that was the hardest thing for me to come across. I was researching stuff like the Franklin cover-up, Franklin Credit Union scandal, the Hampstead cover-up, the McMartin preschool case, all these instances of organized child sex trafficking and like just really ugly, ugly stuff about that. So, and Ted Gunderson has done a lot of work to expose that kind of stuff. And although a lot of people are saying that he was always CIA through the whole thing, so it gets confusing. But the other thing I've been researching is targeted individuals of organized gang stalking, and that's a mouthful, and it's extremely hard to explain to people what it is. But I basically, the way I tell people about it and like my elevator pitch is that you know, there was a thing online I remember reading about, like, if you're an angry ex-boyfriend and your girlfriend dumped you, you could put her name on the dark web somewhere, on some dark website, and people could, like, dox this person. They could find out where they, you know, you would put the information, all the information you had about that person, and, like, strangers could find this person and, like, mess with them, basically. Just go to their house and, like, ruin their life, and people, like, get off on this. But you could imagine that scenario happening with the government instead of just creepy people on the dark web. Like, the government is now putting people on a list. You can almost think of it as like a form of McCarthyism. Basically, whistleblowers against the government are put on this list where you're in this gang stalking program, and they'll do like non-consensual human experimentation on you that has a lot to do with like electronic manipulation of your brain, basically brain hacking. They do like brain hacking experiments on people where they'll do like inserted thoughts, or they'll make people hear V2K style voice to skull voices in their head. They could do like auditory hallucinations, induced dreams. There's basically just a milieu of military technology that most people don't know about that even exists, like directed energy weapons. They're now used on people that are on this list, this gang stalking list, like that our government has. They won't, you know, disclose, and they call these people domestic terrorists, but really they're just whistleblowing about the government. And you can look at people like Kay Griggs and Dr. Eric Carlstrom, Dr. Catherine Horton, who used to work at CERN. So, you know, a lot of people in the Mandela Effect community know about her in particular, but there is just that has been the most important research that I've done besides the Mandela Effect. And like I said, next month there's this thing called T-Day, and it's Targeted Individual Awareness Day. People that are suffering these horrific crimes against humanity, this electronic torture and brain hacking and stuff, and covert shipping too. People don't believe them. People think they're crazy or schizophrenic. But even Vice did a documentary about gang stalking, and they didn't do such a great job, but at least it'll introduce you to the topic.
They tend to do that.
But the brain hacking, I mean, it's just interesting to me because it really made me think, like, maybe they're doing this to people on a large scale, people who aren't Mandela affected. Maybe that's how they're getting their updates and memories that match the reality now. Maybe the frequency weapons or the cell towers, 5G, has something to do with that. You know, so it's really a large body of research. I mean, it's like unending. You know, between like nanotechnology, 5G, cell towers, chips, brain chips. I mean, it's crazy, dude. But it's well worth the research if you can do it. And on this video, I'll comment like a list of videos that are good introductions to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to give me some links to pin in the show description too, I'll do that. And why don't you tell people the name of your channel, which obviously I'll put right at the top of the show description so people can find you. Why don't you tell people the name of your channel and like what you focus on your channel mostly?
Sure. My channel's called Meegs B, M-E-E-G-S. Space B, and I focus on a lot of things really, but mostly Mandela Effect, Bible changes, and then I do a lot of testimonies with targeted individuals. Trying to do more in the next coming weeks, but I just talk a lot mostly about anything related to the truth community, the reality of the spiritual world that we live in. And I'm Christian too, so you'll hear a lot about God on my channel too. So that's something I really like to focus on too, because there has to be a solution and an answer to this craziness going on in our world. And, you know, I hope to help people out a little bit with that. But anyway, dude, thank you so much though for inviting me on.
Brian. Oh, you're welcome. I just have two. I have two more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. Because for those that don't know, anybody that is listening live, in 1 hour at 4 p.m. Eastern time, I am going live again with my regular broadcast of the Dose of Reality radio show, and I'll have Paul Knight on again and Artie Patchak, and we're going to talk about basically the issues you talked about here. We're going to talk about the Mandela Effect, new Mandelas. I want to talk something about some of the phenomenon going on with the airplanes, and we're going to get into some flat Earth stuff having to do with the lunar eclipse, what it is and what it isn't, Buzz Aldrin, flight paths, just a whole bunch of different stuff. And Paul wants to get deeper into his crystals theories and stuff too. So what I wanted to ask you was, first off, is how has this affected, like, personal relationships with family members, and how has your success been with waking any of these close friends or family members up?
Okay. I lost almost everybody that was in my life before, but it was kind of this really interesting transformation in my life. You know, I now have, like, a new true family, and I just went to the Mandela Effect conference recently and met a whole bunch of people that I had only known online. So I'm like, you know, I'm just like overjoyed that, you know, people that I have new people in my life, basically. But yeah, I lost a boyfriend. I lost, like, most
of
my
because he just wouldn't he was very was he very set against it or
yeah like 100 billion percent. Like, he saw it too, but it freaked him out so much. And, you know, he had some like mental problems. Like, I don't want to really go into it, but he could not handle it, basically. Like, he just couldn't, he didn't want to hear about it whatsoever. And he knew about Freemasonry and 9/11 and stuff, but he didn't want to. I think it really messes with people's heads, you know, and a lot of people just can't, they have so much on their plate already that they cannot just delve into it.
I always say anybody can scream Tower 7 all day, but to look into the Mandela Effect and the flat Earth is a totally different ballgame.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's like baby steps. Like, you start at Tower 7 and baby steps on down the rabbit hole, I guess.
What about parents?
It's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. A lot of people can't. It's like a whole other level of truth now that is very unpalatable for a lot of people for some crazy reason. I still don't know why it's so hard for some people to comprehend or care about, but it is. But, you know, we'll just let them be. We can't force them to care. We can only just keep talking about it. But, but yeah, so I've lost a lot. My family now thinks I'm crazy. But I did wake my dad up, and now he's totally – I woke him up with Anatomy of a Great Deception about 9/11.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you about your parents. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I love it. We have such a great relationship as a result. It's incredible. Every time we get together, it's like we talk turkey about truth, that's what I say. But he I keep buying him all these books. I bought him Jim Fetzer's book.
Oh, nice.
About Sandy Hook. Nope, it's called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, and he read that from cover to cover. He's like hungry for knowledge now. It's like, and he worked on aircraft in the Marines too, so he knew like that a plane couldn't crash through the building like that and come out the other end. Every time we talk, he's like, "Thank you so much for telling me this. Thank you." Like, and it really does change people's lives, and that's why I've kind of.
And you're like, you don't even need to thank you. You're my father, and I fucking love you. And I'm glad that you see it. Like, this is awesome.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, at least, you know, you lose a few folks if you're passionate about truth, but you do gain a much better relationship with certain people, and then you gain whole new people from around the world if you have a channel too and you're outspoken. And it's just been a real blessing in my life, I'll say, although it does feel I do feel the pain from it sometimes. You know, it's very isolating to be this outspoken about certain things, because even in the truth community, not everybody agrees about everything, and not everybody has to, of course. It still can be somewhat isolating, but, you know, I try to just take on the attitude like, we're all in this together, man. You know, like, we can't shut up, you know, we're all in this together, we're all on the same team, no matter if we have different opinions about certain things, and, you know, we can't shut up. You gotta stand strong.
Absolutely. All right, so we're gonna have to wrap it up, but last question. What made you decide to come and do this interview today for me?
Oh my gosh. Dude, you're just awesome. And I just love your style. Like, we've been on a couple of different chats with Brian on Brian McFarland's channel, and you're just like whip smart, and you notice like subtle things about the Mandela effect and connect it to things that are happening in the world too, with how the control structure works and stuff. And it's just like, man, this guy's like on it, you know, and you're just super passionate about the Mandela effect now too. Like you post about it all the time and you make videos. You bring a lot to the table in the Mandela effect community. So I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to come on. Awesome. But it's cool too that you're letting people give their testimonies too, because that's honestly how I learned the most about the Mandela effect, from hearing people just talk about it, you know. Like, I don't even care about presentations of all the effects. I just want to hear how people are dealing with it, what they're seeing.
Yeah, that's why I put these on their own little playlist, so, and keep them short. So people hear one, they might want to hear another. And then, you know, different parts of people's stories will resonate with people. And, you know, some people, they'll be, you know, like my buddy James, who's my co-host. I did him for the second interview. Obviously, he's been through a lot of the same road as me. We've been doing radio together for 8 years, so we look at a lot of the same topics. But Paul was vastly different. He went through, like, the 7/7 bombings, Madrid, and then into Flat Earth. And you went through what you talked about today, and I interviewed Gloria, and she went through a lot of those other topics, and then into the Mandela effect really deep. So everybody's was really different, and I already have other people planned. I was going to do somebody else today, but we'll probably do him in the next couple days. And I think it's a good idea, because I have my other shows that are real in depth, like today at 4 p.m. Eastern when we go live. We're going to talk about, you know, in depth into all these topics, but I'll do these separately, where people, like, even some of your opinions, I might not agree with all of them, but I didn't, like, stop you, and you go, we're not here to debate it. I want your story, you know?
Right. And thanks, man. Like, I really appreciate you giving me a platform to talk about all these things together, you know, because I feel like not a lot of people, like, the Mandela affected people don't usually want to talk about Flat Earth, you know, the Flat Earth people, like, really don't get the Mandela effect. So it's really cool to have someone that's so open about connecting them, you know.
That's what I'm trying to do, yeah. That's what I'm trying to do, and that's why I talk about both topics on most of my shows. You know, some of them are more heavy towards the other, but I try and, you know, make the connections, and that's why when I'm in, you know, I don't do it to take people away from a topic, but when I'm in a Flat Earth video chat room and somebody mentions the Mandela effect, I'll go back and forth with people for a while and try and get them to think. Same thing when I'm in the Mandela chats or the Mandela groups. You know, somebody brings up Apollo or Flat Earth or NASA, then I'm gonna write the ship. I'm gonna let them know. Yeah, but, you know, I just think more people need to be open-minded like that. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. Tom, Dick, and Harry don't know it all. But how are we ever going to figure it out if we don't put our ideas together? And the other thing with these interviews is, specifically with the Mandela effect, we never know when our reality and our history is going to change. Let's document what we can. Will our videos change? I don't know. They could. I know people's photographs have changed. We know this. Will our videos of these conversations change and go away or be altered? I don't know, but we should at least document them, and at least everybody tell each other these stories so we can store it here, even if not on our computers, you know?
Come on, dude. That's what I think, too. And, I hope you keep doing what you're doing, because, like, we need you in the Mandela community. Like, we need you.
Thank you. This is the last full video. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to put out a video pretty soon about the next Mandela Effect conference. I have another person that's interested in putting it on in St. Louis in March. So be on the lookout next couple days, maybe on my channel, for information about that. But I hope lots of people come. We had a pretty good turnout at the last one, even though it was only 12 people, but it was a good experience.
That's awesome. So everybody, make sure you subscribe to Meek's channel. Meegs, of course, if you want to mirror it and put it on your channel, that would be awesome. So more people can see the interview. Because I know you have a lot of subs. So if you want to just take the video and throw it up there, that's awesome too.
Absolutely, man.
What else was I going to say? I think that's it. We're going to wrap it up because I have to get off and get ready for the next show. I got to eat something real quick in between. So everybody that's here, thank you for listening. This, even though it's the fourth video in the series, this is the first one that's really been full video. I figured out how to get it working. And by the way, we do have a full nine for the regular show at 4 o'clock if anybody wants to call in. It's 978-435-0062. But, of course, we'll say that on the next show. So to hear more of these interviews, just go to my channel, Brian S. Stavely, on YouTube. Obviously, the links will be in here. If you're watching the video, it'll link you back there, unless you're watching a mirror, obviously. Go to the My Awakening playlist. That's where these videos are. All the rest of my shows, like 50 videos, are on the Dose of Reality radio playlist. They'll be the first two ones when you get to the channel. You'll see it. And thanks again, Meegs. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you after, okay?
All right. Thanks again, Brian. Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Awesome interview. Bye.